Hello, and welcome to What's Brewing, CISFA? What's Brewing, CISFA is a podcast produced for the California Community College's Student Financial Aid Administrators Association. I'm your host, Dennis Schrader. I serve as the 2020-2021 CISFA president.
And I'm Dana Yarbrough, Dennis's fellow employee at Los Angeles Mission College.
What's Brewing CISFA hopes to inform and entertain you 30 minutes at a time.
So let's start the show. And welcome to another episode of What's Brewing CISFA. Let's start this show with our first cup.
Hope you're pouring yourself something good today, Dana.
Yeah, good. We've got some of that good.
Yeah, I hope so. Yeah, I've got myself some sweet tea this morning.
Okay.
Because I needed something different. A little chilled sweet tea.
Uh-huh. Yeah, because it's a little warm this morning.
It's going to be very warm this morning, mm-hmm. Yes.
In October.
Right, exactly.
Yes.
Just what we were looking for, everyone in Southern California. And yes. I'm sure up in Northern California and Arizona.
Will winter ever come?
I don't know. I think only by technicality, when it finally hits after fall, it will show up on the calendar, but you can't prove it to me.
It doesn't exist.
No. Well, happy Friday to you.
And happy Friday to you too.
And a weekend coming up here. So
yes.
This is going to be our loosey-goosey show again because we don't have another interviewee yet, but I'm working on it. I think we've got a number of people that are interested, so.
Oh, that's always
we'll be filling the show.
That's awesome. Awesome to know. That's okay if it's loosey-goosey. It's fun. Fun shows.
I hope so. Yeah.
Yeah.
So how's your week been so far?
So far, so good. Yeah. Busy.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, because we're doing the, our FAFSA jamborees.
That's
so for those of you listening, now that the FAFSA is available, as of October 1st, we have this initiative on our campus where we encourage our students to complete the new FAFSA application. So we have these, we call it our FAFSA Jamboree. Mm-hmm. So we have these workshops twice a week through Zoom.
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So it keeps you on your toes for sure.
Yeah, the Zoom thing and these other platforms seem to be working out, as well as you could expect. I just did a financial aid night last night for a high school in the San Gabriel area that I've been doing, I don't know, forever. I think before I started at LA Mission, because when I was at Glendale College, I definitely was closer in proximity. And they had 193 parents on last night.
Oh, man.
It certainly felt like it, too.
Yeah.
Because
you were doing the Q&A as well?
Yeah, kind of like, so my process, other people can adapt this. So if they give you the webinar option where you can do Q&A, it works a little better. And what I say up front in my presentation is, enter your questions into the Q&A. If you have a technical issue, like you can't hear me, or like last night they had translators on like other channels or rooms, put your technical questions into the chat. But leave all the other financial aid related questions for the Q&A. And so along the way, the counselors are answering the simple ones. Have you sent our GPAs yet to the California Student Aid Commission? Or will you be posting this PowerPoint in our Naviance, which is like the big system a lot of them use for posting information. But, so I'd run through a few if I saw them during the presentation and it related to what I was talking to. But come to the end, I probably ran through about 50 different Q&A in the last half hour.
That's hardcore.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
But it's working. But, 193 parents on the line. So, it was very interesting. But they always have a number of different languages. Last night, they only had Chinese and Spanish.
Okay.
But when I presented there on campus, they'll have... Excuse me there. You'll have, I think, Korean, Vietnamese.
Okay.
I'm trying to think if they do both Cantonese and Mandarin Chinese, but it's a very diverse part of L.A., so they have a lot more Asian languages in that area. So,
okay.
But last night, yeah, the two interpreters had their rooms. They could hear me.
Wow.
And then they would, I could see them talking on the screen, but only the people that were in their room could hear them.
Okay.
It also changes how you have to pace.
Yeah. I was thinking about that. Yeah.
Because I can talk really fast about the FAFSA and stuff.
Or it can go real, you got to go take your time.
I can explain the cost of attendance is made up of these five components. And to make sure, because I'm kind of watching them read and, you know,
and the reactions.
Exactly. Yeah. So I can see. And especially with the Q&A, because the Q&A sometimes goes a little fast.
Okay. Yeah. That's
cool. We got through it.
As long as you get through it, man.
Yeah. Yeah. So that was last night.
Okay. And then I think you had earlier this week or over the weekend, the CISPA exec board meetings.
That's right. So it's our quarterly meeting. It's our October meeting after July. We did it Monday and Tuesday.
Okay.
Now, had we been in person, normally it'd be two super full days, probably 8:30 or 9 till 3 or 4. First day is always about the financial aid regional reps and the consultative group that they form, in a sense, which is not just our regional reps, but our CISFA exec board, in a sense, are part of that too. Our presidents, our treasurers, secretary, and all that. Consulting with the state chancellor's office. So that was pretty much all day Monday, but it actually ended early. We got through all our topics pretty quickly.
Okay. Do you think that's because you guys are not in person?
Absolutely. That, and also we are, it's an interesting time. And so this comes out from the state chancellor's office, who would normally give us a big legislative update on any legislation that's either pending or about to be passed or is moving through the system that's related to financial aid. So most years, it's a matrix. It's literally like 100 or 50 to 100 different bills.
Whoa.
A lot of times there's overlap. So you'll see like different names of people sponsoring a bill, but they'll have similar titles. Like it'll be Cal Grant something something, and then someone else will have another Cal Grant something something. They're similar. And again, it's a legislative process here, like many states, where, you know, I put forth my great idea and you put forth your great idea. And then at some point we either compromise and amend one and get rid of the other. And then move forward. But it's always, there's always a lot of bills. But right now, because of this COVID stuff and because the legislature has slowed down in their processes, there's not nearly as many bills that we had to talk about. And so it's been a slow time. So that took a lot of time away from our meeting. And so we had a lot less to talk about. But then day two of our meeting is always a regular CISFA executive board meeting. So treasurer's report, web oversight report from our VP of state issues, which again, relatively small report from Tamara. Our VP of federal issues always gives us they always kind of have a sub meeting of their committee the month before, which they did, summarizing what's new on the federal front. You know, stuff like that. And then of course I run through some of the committee stuff because we've been moving along on a number of things, communications wise, getting more communications out to our CISFA people, updating the website. And of course, the last thing we really talked about there too was our FAMS, our Financial Aid Multimedia Showcase.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So we had a deadline.
Yeah, the deadline's coming up.
It was originally last Friday, the 9th. But we've only got everybody out there. We've only got two entries.
Man. So we gotta get cracking in there.
Yes. So we're extending the deadline to October 30th to file your intent to create form. It's not actually turning in a project. It's not turning in the three reels to your cinematic saga movie about financial aid. Not yet. Instead, all you have to do is just file a form to say you do have the intent to create a project. And I think we've talked about this a little bit, Dana, but we probably should remind our listeners, you know, what they can do. And again, all the creative ideas that are out there. You know, this was spurred on by one of our executive board members, who I'm sure is going to be one that's going to want to enter. And don't worry, no preferences here, because we're going to have an outside judging panel.
Mm-hmm.
Was a little, he showed us at an exec board meeting, this little like movie trailer called like Pell Left Behind or something.
Okay.
Or No Pell Left Behind.
Okay. No Pell Left Behind.
And so it was kind of like a horror film kind a movie trailer for a movie that doesn't exist, of course, unless he's making a movie now. But it was like a 30-second little horror movie trailer that involved financial aid. So that's just one possibility. You know, think of a movie if it involved financial aid. And what would you do to create either like a movie trailer, you know, the 30 or 60-second thing that you see on TV that sells you on, I got to go see that. Yeah. Or something similar for a TV show. You know, like when a TV show launches, how would you do a promotional 30 or 60-second video?
Mm-hmm.
You know, we also open it up if you want to do longer form things, maybe do a short form movie.
Okay.
You know, 5 minutes, 10 minutes. I say 5 or 10 and people are like, oh, that probably sounds so short. But Dana, I know you're a creative type. And I think I remember seeing a video out on YouTube once put together by you. I won't call out its name unless you want me to say it, because people will start looking for it.
Oh, man. That was back in the day, though.
Yeah.
I talk about the one I did for my grad program, my values. Yeah.
Yes. Dana's values. But
yeah.
But I'm sure you know, as others who've ever tried to edit video.
Oh, man.
Five or ten minutes of a video.
Yeah.
Could mean hours of work.
Yes, it is. Because I think for that 5 minute video that I did, a couple of days at least.
I'm sure. It had to be.
Yeah.
No doubt. So
and I think I used it. I edited it on my my MacBook at the time.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's why I'm telling people, if you come up with a 5 to 10 minute by the time you're done editing it, movie about financial aid, that will be a good entry right there.
Mm-hmm,
you know, don't go thinking, oh, I've got to come up with an hour long movie. Unless you're going to do old timey long shots that, you know, like Europeanized movies, where it'd be
right.
A long shot of a woman in a field.
Okay.
And you hold on that for 5 minutes.
It sounds like we're getting a little bit more like avant-garde here. Like,
exactly. Shot in black and white, of course.
Yes, too. Yes. Uh-huh.
With some interesting violin
with subtitles.
Music. With subtitles. Oh, my gosh. Now you've done it. You've gone all the way. Exactly.
Yes, I have.
So don't feel you have to push yourself. Or even like 5 minutes out of a sitcom. Think of it that way. What if you took 5 minute snippet out of a sitcom about financial aid? I don't know what that would be. But
okay,
maybe that's what you present as your fam's project.
So it would be kind of like an FAO version of The Office. Like,
it could be.
Yeah, okay.
So I know this might be a little harder to piece together because this project idea came out in my mind way before COVID hit. So it might be a little harder for some schools to piece that together if they're working remotely.
Mm-hmm.
But I've heard from some counterparts of ours in other schools that they are back in the office, some of them at least, or most of them.
Okay.
So maybe it's something you can do. Maybe that's a project for you now that you're back in the office. If you want to put the COVID type of issues into the TV show or into your FAMS project, feel free to. The biggest thing we ask for in the FAMS project, as far as the rules are, one, get your form in if you're interested by October 30th. Even if you switch up categories or whatever, that's fine. Two, it should be financial aid should be the topic in there. Now, if it's a little side topic, I'll leave that as is. And the other one is it should be worked primarily by people in financial aid. But that doesn't mean, like, you know, Dana, we've got a multimedia program.
Mm-hmm.
It doesn't mean that if me and you decided to put together our 3-hour-long saga on financial aid and enter it into super long form category that doesn't exist. But if we did, if we did, we could obviously get some outside help from our multimedia kids on the editing front.
Yeah, for sure.
So we could stand in the editing bay and yell, cut that. Add that.
Yeah.
Let's loop that over and over.
I know. What was I thinking when we filmed this? Yeah.
Exactly.
Uh-huh.
You're going to have to.
Now, Dennis.
Yes.
Dennis, so just so people can know, of course, they can use different type of mediums.
Oh, absolutely.
Uh-huh.
So we're talking, obviously not just not film, but I mean video, but it could be, if you want to come up with comic book.
Okay.
On financial aid, your first edition or whatever you want to call it, that certainly would be acceptable.
A song, maybe?
A song, yes, absolutely. I know we have some musicians out there in the field for certain. I'm absolutely certain of it. You could do a musical number, original, written by you, performed by you or whatever, get the band together, however you want to do it. So, yes, musical numbers. I'm trying to think of all the other possibilities, but those are probably some of the biggest ones that probably come to mind. That might be easy to do.
Yeah. And then, there's other, social media platforms that could probably be used, like maybe like TikTok.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, if that's the way they want to present it in some way in that kind of limited run size thing.
Yeah. Yeah.
Absolutely. Uh-huh. Big thing here is just got to be involving financial aid.
Yes.
That's really what we're talking about here.
Yes.
Uh-huh. It's got to have.
In a creative multimedia way.
Exactly. Exactly. Well, let's take a little break here musically, Dana, and move ourselves into a refill time on our second cups.
Let's get our refill on. And welcome back for our second cup segment on the What's Brewing CISFA show.
Time for the refill, everyone.
Do it. Let's keep ourselves, our throats moisturized.
That's right. Mm-hmm. We have to because we have good news, everybody.
I'm on the edge of my seat.
Thanks to Dana reminding everyone at the end of our shows to email us at wbcisfa@gmail.com. We have our first email, Dana.
Oh, man.
From a live person. Not someone just wants me to pay him money to advertise on the show. Or advertise the show, not even on the show. So we have a person from one of our schools down here. I'm going to keep their name private for now. But they write to us, hello. Hi, Dennis and Dana. I'm dropping a line to say thank you for the podcast, especially during this pandemic. I love hearing how you both continuing the important work of administering aid and outreach into students and advancing the profession and professionals. I would love to hear more about how financial aid offices are getting involved with or are being transformed by Guided Pathways and other equity initiatives.
Nice.
What have you done or heard others do to help the financial aid process be more equitable? So, Dana, I think that's a great challenge to us and maybe going forward with interviews and also stuff that we can talk about. So,
I like that. I like that. And thank you for the individual who emailed us. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, Dennis, I am down.
Good. So I think, because, when we're talking guided pathways, I think most of the colleges in the state, the community colleges, they're somewhere along the path of having guided pathways implemented.
Along the path of guided pathways.
It really is. And so for those who don't know anything about what this is, hold on a second. I'm going to reach behind me for a book.
Okay.
There was this book written. I must have got a free. No, I probably paid for my own copy. I pay for so many books. There was a book called Redesign in America's Community Colleges, A Clearer Path to Student Success, put out a number of years ago, and it spread like wildfire among administrators and other types. And I can see why, because it is all words and no pictures, so, it's not a fun book to read.
not fun at all?
No. Oh, wait, there is a graph. You finally get to a little table.
And the cover has a picture, too.
On page 201. Yeah, But it's kind of like a, again, it's like a black and white cover with not a lot of, you just can't see a lot of, oh, there's a little chart on page 126. That's probably the first one. And it's a lot of little dots. So, you know, that's a lot of fun. But the book talked about guided pathways. And the idea was this. If I summarize this wrong, someone can call me out next time. But the idea was our students who come to community college oftentimes don't know exactly what they want to do.
Yes.
They don't know exactly the program they want to do. But we know internally if you are a allied health or STEM major, you have to take certain math classes over other math classes, certain science classes over others. You'll take a certain type of core of general electives that fit better with your type of major than you would with others. So guided pathways, in a sense, is you take all your majors and you figure out maybe 5 or 6 or 7 key areas, what some might call like career and academic program clusters or such.
Yep.
And a student says, oh, I'm interested in this law, administrative justice type of thing or whatever, society thing. And that might cluster your administration of justice classes, your some of your humanities type classes, your sociology class or degree programs. I should not say classes, but degree programs and certificate programs. So that the student has a guided pathway into that. So that if later down the road, oh, no, I don't want to go into police officer work. I want to be a social worker. It's all within that pathway. They will not have wasted time on the general eds and the other classes up front. So that's it's, kind of, go ahead.
Oh, no, I was just going to say, yeah, it gives the student direction. Sometimes, because I'm speaking for myself when I say this is, because when I started, you know, 17, 18 years old, right out of high school. So I know that would have been so much help, very helpful to me, being that young and having no clue, you know, what I was doing. All I knew I was doing was I was just taking classes.
Yes. You were at school. Yeah. I must be making progress.
Yes. But all I'm doing is accumulating units and going to get disqualified from financial aid.
Very possible. And, you know, again, you know, it's one of these goals coming from the state chancellor's office, but also every college is the same, which is to lower that average number of units students are taking to complete. Because we know the more they're here, the less likely they're to complete if they don't stay on target. Just like why we changed a lot of the remedial requirements and now students can test in higher or self-evaluate themselves or whatever, self-assess. And avoid having to take 2 or 3 or 4 sometimes remedial math classes or English classes. Just get up to college level material.
I think I shared this before earlier when we started doing the podcast. That's exactly what happened to me. Now, you know, like I said, no, this is my experience. I had to repeat my remedial courses at least twice. But I will say, and I hate to admit this, in a way, maybe it helped me because the information, you know, is, you know, regrained in me. Okay. But like you're saying, the downside is you're wasting time and accumulating units. So I think part of what, you know, the new system is the portion where you're able to have the tutoring, right? Because I believe that's part of it, right?
Tutoring, supplemental instruction.
Yeah, yes. Yeah,
all of that is now available in so many more of our college level, first level, college level math and English. So that in a sense, it's kind of jump-starting the student into the correct level.
Right.
And I think that, if anything, that might be part of this whole equity talk that we're looking at along with guided pathways. So I think definitely we will continue to explore that in future shows. So thank you for our first email. We are definitely going to continue on that path of guided pathways and equity talk here on What's Brewing CISFA. But let's head on into a little musical segment and then get into our last part. it's time, Dana, as always, for the last part of the show. Let's get in our last sip, everyone. There you go.
Now there we're we ready go. To go. We got two.
Yeah, I think someone actually commented to me that we have to make sure we have that second last sip there that everyone hears. Otherwise, the show is not complete.
Yes, we got to have that last sip.
Yes. So, Dana, it's a Friday. It's normally where we do some I Dare You To stuff. Do you have anything for me today?
You know, not today, but I think you have an I Dare You.
Yeah, I got a couple. So, I was supporting that local bookstore last week, buying some gifts for a friend who was having a birthday. And of course I go hog wild sometimes on books. So okay. I've got a big stack of them. I won't go through them all because some are, you know, current affairs, current events. And again, as soon as you show a book about current events that someone's like, oh, you read that guy? I don't want to hear from it, people. I don't want to hear it. Whatever your views are your views, and that is great. Mm-hmm. And my suggestion is occasionally buy a book from an author that you've been told is, he is so right-wing or so left-wing or so out there.
Okay.
Buy the book. All right. If there's a book on ancient aliens from that George Tsoukalos guy, the guy with crazy hair on the Science Channel,
did it. Here we go.
Go buy the book.
Here we
just
go.
Just to read in here.
Oh my
goodness. So I'm not going to go through those books. So I have less controversial books. Okay. So first and foremost, I found finally, and I'll just make it real quick. There's a book called Case Study Houses. I've got the little teeny tiny version. It's kind of thick and all. But I have the gigantic $300 version that I've always had. That's okay. A coffee table book. But they have this little teeny tiny book now. And it's got all the colorful pictures and house designs and all in there. So that I finally found, and it was super well priced.
Okay.
The other book I'll talk about, Pete Holmes, a comedian. You guys all had listened to his podcast called You Made It Weird. Mm-hmm. Pete Holmes is probably one of the smartest, interesting comics out there, not just on stage, but just in life. And he was talking about a woman named Byron Katie. He'll sometimes call her Katie just because Byron Katie, I think she's English maybe.
Okay.
A book called A Mind at Home with Itself. And she wrote it with her husband, Stephen Mitchell. And we'll get more into it maybe in the next few weeks. I don't have a lot of time here. But it's about asking four basic questions when you come along to issues in your life. Because the subtitle here is How Asking Four Questions Can Free Your Mind, Open Your Heart, and Turn Your World Around.
Oh, okay.
And I don't have them all marked off in the book yet because he talked about it on the show. He had her on the show because he's like been an admirer of hers forever. And it's and these questions are what they call the work. And it's things like, you know, someone tells you something and you say, like, if I remember this right, I'm going to get it wrong. You know, is it true? Is it really true? And then there's something else. And there's a third question and a fourth. But the whole idea is to take, in a sense, it takes the steam out of areas where you think someone is against you. Or saying something bad about you, and then, or, you know, even like they go with the example, you know, a kid tells you there's a monster under their bed. Is it true? No. Is it really true? No. And then there's like a third and a fourth step to this. So I'll put that in the show notes. We'll maybe talk a little bit more about that. Maybe we'll get Mr. Pete Holmes on here. I don't guess who knows. Hey, you never know. You know.
Oh, man.
We're doing what we can here, everybody, on the show.
Uh-huh. We already got our first people. Email. We're making progress.
Exactly. We are definitely moving in the right direction.
Yes, we are.
Yeah. Well, I want to thank our co-host Dana today for joining us on What's Brewing CISFA. And thank you, our audience, for tuning in.
Hey, and remember, everyone, to check out the CISFA website at CISFA.org. That's CCCSFAAA.org. You will find our Twitter handle on our homepage, so please follow us on Twitter.
For this and all WBC podcasts, find our feed through Google Podcasts at podcasts.google.com and search for CISFA. For those using Apple devices, search for CISFA on the Apple Podcasts app. And you can always find our episodes at wbcisfa.podbean.com. That's wbcccsfaaa.podbean.com. podbean.com. That's the words pod and bean as one word.
You can send us feedback or feed us topics you want to hear on the show. Just email us at wbcsfa@gmail.com.
What's Brewing CSFA is a production of Studio 1051, a creative collaboration of Dana and myself.
This has been episode number 25, recorded the morning of Friday, October 2nd, 2020. Have a great day.
And have a great weekend, because this was actually episode number 29, recorded October 16th, and Dennis forgot to update the script. Have a great weekend, everybody.
Have a good one, guys.